Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Breda Pest Management, the official pest control of UGA Athletics.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Every now and then we can get a prediction right. Normally the predictions we get right are the ones that are the easiest to make. An example of that yesterday, we said a couple of days ago, the one thing that you won't hear from Georgia as it kicks off spring practice, any grand proclamations, any sort of predictions for greatness, any kind of like big talk that necessarily goes excessively viral, that's just not really Georgia's style. And yesterday was another example of that, in contrast, by the way, to a team like Ohio State that seems to have been very comfortable saying those kinds of things here this spring. We knew that Georgia wouldn't really do that, but we also knew that Kirby Smart would probably strike some familiar tone, some things that he said before. And, you know, one of the things that he did sort of talk a little bit about yesterday as Georgia kicks off spring practice is that, you know, this is a team that's still going to be trying to figure out what its identity is, that it's not about any kind of carryover from the previous year, that every season invites an opportunity for reinvention, and the spring practice time of year creates the opportunity for Georgia to do just that. We obviously expect Kirby Smart to say that, and I would say in the roundabout way, that's probably, for the most part, mostly true. The one thing we have been saying, though, is that from an identity standpoint, the thing that's going to make Georgia Georgia here this year, and perhaps allowing it to stand in contrast to previous Georgia teams of the Kirby Smart era, is the fact that this team can be more quarterback-led than any team in Kirby's past. That the one thing that Carson Beck sort of has going for him right now, in a way that previous Georgia quarterbacks didn't, even Stetson Bennett transitioning as a national champion in 2021 to come back for 2022, a year that he became a Heisman finalist, is that Beck right now is getting far more accolades going into this season than Beck would have gotten then, sort of recognized as the top returning quarterback in college football, a thought of perhaps winning a Heisman Trophy or being the number one overall pick in next year's NFL draft. That's just a lot of attention for quarterback. And what we said yesterday was, we think that's going to create a little bit of a different mood, a little bit of a different tone around Georgia spring practice because of the outsized presence of a quarterback like Beck being a little bit different than perhaps what Georgia's had in the past. So it's not a surprise with that in mind that Kirby Smart was talking about Carson Beck yesterday when he met with the media for the first time during spring practice. And what Kirby said about Beck, I think, is pretty compelling. This is Kirby from yesterday.
Yeah, Carson is not an extremely assertive young man. That's not his – he doesn't try to assert himself mechanically. He doesn't just jump in there and do it. I think he's done that more in the last couple of days since being back from spring break, and I expect to see it even more today in terms of leadership in the huddle and the things he does. But he has high standards. He has high expectations. His decision to come back was built around doing something different, doing something special. I think he's got to build a rapport with some of these new wideouts we've got. We've got several new wideouts in that room that are going to be important for him to grow with. But I'm very comfortable with where he is as a leader. And the way he leads is the way he's comfortable leading, which is, you know, primarily through his actions.
I absolutely love one of the phrases that Kirby Smart uses there, that Beck came back with the idea of doing something special in mind. Don't you love that? We're going to hear more from Carson Beck later on today's show about specifically what that might be for him. But the notion that Beck is here to do something special, that's what he came back for. And you know, I think you asked the question of, well, what might that special thing be? And I would tell you that I don't think that's necessarily a rhetorical question. Like, what could Beck do to make Georgia special this year, perhaps more special than it was a year ago, or maybe more special than any team, at least on Beck's side of the ball, the offense, has been thus far during the Kirby Smart era? I think there could potentially be a fairly tangible and specific answer to a question like that. Obviously, Georgia came up short in one game a year ago. They lost the SEC championship, lost it to Alabama. And when you look at the specific factors of that loss, one of the things I think you'll see is that loss, in some respects, had some stuff in common with previous losses that Georgia has suffered. Now, there haven't been very many of them. Kirby's only lost 15 times in, what is it, eight seasons, however many years it's been? Only lost 15 times, and five of those came in the very first year. So there aren't very many losses overall. But when Georgia has lost, I would say there are some commonalities to that. Much the same way in the SEC championship back in December, Georgia lost 27-24, only scoring 24 points. When you look at even the losses to Alabama during the Smart era, they all sort of feel the same, where Georgia kind of got into the 20s but came a little bit short of getting to about 30 points, which is sort of proven to be a little bit of a magic number in terms of a win or a loss for Jordan the Kirby Smart era, because that game against Bama this year, the 24 points, the same exact total that Georgia scored when it lost to Bama in the 2021 SEC Championship, also 24. When Georgia lost to Bama in October of 2020, the only regular season matchup for Georgia and Alabama during the Kirby Smart era, they also only scored 24 that day. Go back to the 2018 SEC Championship. It's a game in which Georgia had all of its chances to win, and how different the Smart era would have felt even back then had Georgia broken through and won that game. They only scored 28 points that day, held below 30. Ultimately, that was the difference between winning and losing. The national championship game at the end of the 2017 season, Georgia only scored 23 points in its loss to Alabama. And you can look at the other losses that Georgia has kind of suffered during the Smart era, scoring 28 against Florida in 2020, scoring just 10 against LSU in 2019, scoring 17 against South Carolina in 2019. On and on you go. What you see is there's only one time during the Kirby Smart era that Georgia has scored at least 30 points and lost. That was the crazy shootout game to Tennessee in 2016, where they had the Hail Mary play on the end of the, at the end of the game to win it. That's the only game in the Kirby Smart era in which Georgia has scored 30 and yet still lost. In every other situation, it's a lot like those games against Alabama, where you got to 24 and came up a little bit short. You got to 28 and came up a little bit short. Just a few more points, even in those games against Alabama, would put the Kirby Smart legacy in an entirely different light than it is right now. And you go back and look like this past season. You know, not only did Georgia come up a little bit short in the game against Alabama while only scoring 24 points, you know, a game against South Carolina could have been a loss. Georgia just scored 24 that day. A game against Auburn could have been a loss. Georgia scored just 27 that day. Close calls in which games were made closer because the Georgia offense wasn't firing on full cylinders the way that it would be for much of the rest of the season. So when Kirby Smart says, hey, Carson Beck came back with the idea of doing something special, I think it's fair to wonder, what could special be for Georgia here this season? If I had to write my own script for this as a Georgia fan, if I had to say, hey, here is a special level of achievement Georgia could get this year that it hasn't gotten before, my wish list would be, what if you scored 30 in every game? How different would that make Georgia? And how much more insured against a loss would Georgia be if you went out and said, not only will we average 40, because Georgia's done that now for most of the last 3 years, but not only will we average 40, we'll never dip below 30. Because the games in which Georgia has been at its most vulnerable are those games which dip below that total. What if that's the special provision that Carson Beck has for Georgia here this year? The offense will show up at a high level in each and every game, and at the end of the season, you'll have no regrets because of that. Now, I'll give you a quick caveat to this. Not even 2019 LSU did that, by the way. LSU had one game in its sort of record-setting offensive season of 2019 in which it didn't score 30 points. It only scored 23 in a win at Auburn, so it had one game below 30. So what I'm saying, not even the greatest offense perhaps many of us have ever seen did, but with Carson Beck at the helm, this Georgia offense could perhaps come close to matching that, if not exceeding that, if it could do that. And if Georgia's scoring 30 in every single game, if Georgia's scoring at least that much in every single game, then I would say that would truly sort of rise up and being truly special for Georgia here this season. Now, how do you go about getting that done? How do you achieve that level of offensive success that makes losses far less likely to occur? Well, it was also kind of contained in the answer we just heard from Kirby Smart right there. Some of this is going to be about Beck getting on the same page with a whole bunch of new receivers, transfers, young guys, players stepping up. The process of doing that is going to be incredibly important. And most of these guys, Colby Young from Miami or London Humphreys from Vanderbilt or Michael Jackson from USC, they're kind of sort of thrown together. And perhaps we don't know as much about these guys because they've been playing various different places. But Carson Beck, when he met with reporters yesterday, did have his own chance to offer his first assessment of perhaps what he and that group might be able to do together as they all get to know each other a little bit better. This is what Carson Beck said about that.
Yeah, I mean, they're all really good kids. I mean, they wouldn't be here if they weren't. But super excited to, you know, start to get to work with them. I mean, the very little that I've been able to work with them, I'm very excited what they bring to the table, very confident in what they're able to do. Obviously, as we go into spring ball and then summer and fall camp into the season, we'll be able to kind of dissect that a little more. But I'm excited that, you know, those guys are here.
Kirby Smart used the word special a moment ago. Beck is here for something special, has big goals in mind. What could the Georgia offense be if it is as special as it perhaps could be? I believe it would be Carson Beck working with those new receivers, developing that chemistry to go out and produce a level of offense that doesn't just match the heights that previous Georgia offenses have had. It also creates a new level of consistency that makes Georgia almost unbeatable, because when Georgia scores 30 in the Kirby Smart era, that's about what they've been, just about unbeatable in every single instance. Could they go out and do that 15, 16, 17 times here in 2024? It'll certainly be fun to watch to see if they're capable. My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Breda Pest Management, and we're happy to have you with us today. No matter how you get to us, live on video across all platforms, 10 a.m., radio app and sports radio 960 The Ref podcast. Those of you that click in and join us via Spotify or click in and join us on Apple, you listen to the show there at dognation.com. And by the way, how much more fun has that been to see that showing up in such a consistent way? Right there at that noontime, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Breda Pest Manager, shows up for you there on dognation.com. We appreciate everybody helping us do all of that. Really, really great stuff. And so happy to have you with us here today. And a big thanks to our friends at Breda Pest Manager who make it all possible for you, the official pest control provider of UGA Athletics. About a month from now, we're all going to be settling into Sanford Stadium for G-Day, at least many of us will be. When you look around there, which is going to look a little bit different, the hedges are still growing back. You got big changeover in terms of where the press box used to be and things like that. But the one thing that does not change, that venue protected, it's kept bug, critter, termite free from our friends at Breda Pest Management. And you have your own chance to work with the official pest control provider of UGA Athletics. You can brag to your friends and say, hey, the same company that works with UGA works with me there as well. But you get more than just bragging rights out of this. Obviously, right now, everything seemingly is more expensive than it's ever been before, including perhaps your termite protection. Maybe you get that dreaded letter in the mail telling you that your cost of service is going up, even though you're sort of seeing it as the quality of service you get from whatever fly-by-night company you might be working with. Perhaps it feels like that's going down. Here's what I can tell you. With our friends at Breda Pest Management, that's not going to be the case. They're the official pest control provider of UGA Athletics, been in business since 1975, multiple generations of history of service for you, taking care of folks all across our marketplace. In fact, they got 125 people. I see the Breda Pest Management trucks around town all the time. They're always out there taking care of folks, delivering, doing good folks, doing good work, going out there and getting the job done. And they want to do that for you there as well. And when you make the switch to Breda Pest Management, you're going to put more money back in your pocket just for making that decision. So please find them online, BredaPest.com. That's B-R-E-D-A, BredaPest.com. One more time, B-R-E-D-A, that's how you spell it, BredaPest.com, the official pest control provider of UGA Athletics. All right, busy show for us. It's Jake Fromm a little bit later on. As I was joking with our video audience, some of my spies in Athens were telling me yesterday that Jake Fromm was on hand for Georgia practice. Will he reveal any interesting information that he may have seen? We'll find that out from Jake here in a little bit. Mike Griffith, also live from Georgia Pro Day, joins us here in a couple of moments there as well. We'll do a lot of our Pro Day talk with Mike here in just a moment when he gets here. We'll also get into some more of the injury stuff and the certainly very sad situation involving Pierce Sperlin. We'll do a lot of that with Mike here coming up in just a little bit. Prior to that, though, I want to go around the doghouse, and I want to use something that sort of happened in the sort of larger college football world yesterday to kind of zero back in on the story with Georgia here for a moment. There was a big NIL, I don't know what you call it, congressional hearing. A lot of famous college football folks around Congress yesterday, and one of those, obviously the most famous name of all, former Alabama coach Nick Saban. And Saban was asked about the feeling around the college football world with NIL, and Saban, who had been pretty critical of his own players during a story at ESPN.com the other day, sort of doubled down on that again. Saban sounding pretty angry here, and it got a lot of attention. We'll talk more about the actual sort of words from Saban in a few minutes here, but I want you to hear this because I think it's a setup for something as it relates to Georgia. Nick Saban yesterday, very forceful words in Congress.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them.
So listen, we'll get more into later on the show about what this means for college football overall. But I think there's a Georgia fan that listens to Nick Saban right there now in retirement, perhaps a little bit more comfortable to be candid. And they say, well, gosh, if Nick Saban's that worried about that from his own perspective as Alabama coach, how much do we have to be worried about that, those of us who are Georgia fans, that same type of mind virus afflicting UGA as well? And I think it's probably a fair concern, I guess. And when people see evidence of, you know, largesse in college football now that perhaps didn't used to exist, sort of makes them a little bit nervous. You know, we talked a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago it was, about when Carson Beck got the Lamborghini SUV, you know, really nice car, perhaps a little nicer car than most of us drove when we were in our early 20s. And you sort of wonder, well, what does this mean for Beck? What does this mean for a locker room to see Beck driving a car like this? Is this an example of sort of misapplied priorities? Is this a guy whose mindset's not where it needs to be? Is there some sort of negative symbolism about a guy like Beck driving a car like this? Well, yesterday when Carson Beck met with the media, in light of the fact that there's these NIL concerns that exist in college football right now, Beck tried to do his part yesterday to sort of calm people down and say, hey, listen, don't read too much into whatever vehicle it is that I'm driving around campus. This is what Carson Beck said about that yesterday.
I've always been a car guy since, I'm not even a car guy, I mean, since I was a kid. I mean, I grew up, you know, always loving cars. My dream car when I was super, super young was always a Mustang. I've never actually had a Mustang, but I kind of grew out of it when I was like 14, 15. But no, I've always been a huge car guy. So, you know, growing into that and like being able to associate myself with that brand and such a large, you know, brand name, being able to get that car, obviously it's a blessing. But I mean, being able to associate myself, get that car, I mean, it's been awesome. So, yeah.
What is it about cars that makes you a car guy?
The engine. I love, yeah, I don't know. There's just something about like pulling out of the driveway, hearing just like a well-built engine, the exhaust. I don't know how to explain it. It puts a smile on my face.
Listen, I think what Carson Beck is saying there is the most sensible thing in the world. I'm not as big a car guy necessarily, but I do know what a good car sounds like when it turns on, when that engine really hums. There's just something about that that's just really, really satisfying, even if I'm not smart enough to know what makes the engine sound that way or what makes one car sort of better than another. That's not quite the world I live in. I do sort of get the idea of what a cool car is. And I got to tell you, I take Beck at his word when he sort of shrugs this off and says, it's just a car. Even though I probably also take Nick Saban a little bit seriously when he says, hey, some of these guys these days, all they're worried about is money and what they can buy with their money, what they can do with their money. They're not thinking about development. They're not thinking about getting better as football players. I sort of take Nick Saban seriously when he says that, but I also find Carson Beck very believable when he says, listen, this to me is just a car, just something I wanted to do because I could do it, and I don't really think much more about it other than I like the way the engine sounds. It makes me smile, makes me happy. There's not anything larger going on here. I sort of take Carson Beck at his word when he says that. And part of the reason that I find Beck so believable on that is because it certainly seems like Beck is far more interested in other things other than the car that he drives. As Kirby Smart said a moment ago, Beck came back not to get a cool car, because you could get that in the NFL. Beck came back to do something special, to be a part of something special, and frankly, to have a level of achievement for Georgia in 2024 that the team came just short of achieving in 2023, as we discussed a moment ago. So why do I find Beck so believable when he says, just a car, I'm not too worried about it? It's because in other moments in that same press conference, Carson Beck was saying things like this, the real reason that he came back to Georgia, which frankly has nothing to do with driving a Lamborghini.
And obviously we had a really good year. I feel like obviously our goal is always to win it all, and as it should be for every program, but obviously we didn't achieve that goal. So, you know, coming back obviously with that same mindset, because we didn't reach that goal, that was definitely led to it. And then obviously just the connection piece that we have here at Georgia, the relationship I have with the coaches, the relationship I have with the players, it all just came to, you know, me making the decision to come back and wanting to do that for another year.
So let me see if I can sum all this up this way. Nick Saban goes to Congress yesterday and says, kids these days, man, they're not like they used to be. And to a certain extent, I sort of feel like I know where he's coming from on that. I think when you look at the overall impact of NIL on college football, while I think most of it's fine, I don't think all of it's been positive. I think there are probably some legitimate concerns, and we'll talk more about this later on. When so many coaches are saying something somewhat similar about this, I think you've at least got to consider the possibility they're not all lying. They're not all exaggerating just to benefit themselves. There must be some kernel of truth to all of this. So even if that is partially true, not every example of NIL is necessarily a reason to panic. And I think in this case, Carson Beck is driving a very nice car. It certainly gets attention, but quarterbacks always get attention. And frankly, college players have been driving nice cars for a really long time. In fact, go to the local parking lot of your local high school. Young people in general just drive nicer cars than I feel like they used to back when I was in high school. That's just, you know, seemingly a part of a culture now that probably didn't exist, you know, for me, you know, back in the 90s, you know, back when I was a teenager. That's just sort of the way that it seems to go here right now. But in terms of Carson Beck being too distracted about the wrong stuff or anything like that, I think the other words that Beck used give you a lot more comfort about that. This is a guy who understands that he's got a lot of opportunity to achieve a lot of things individually as he moves ahead to the 2025 NFL draft, and collectively on a Georgia team that can finish this season how it did not finish a year ago, and that's with another national championship. And that's around the doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily here today. Of course, it's Jake Fromm a little bit later on. We'll get Mike Griffith here in a second there as well. But prior to that, let me give a shout out to our friends at Dr. Pepper. How much fun is it to have Dr. Pepper back here on Dog Nation Daily once again? We love Dr. Pepper because of the fact that for me, this is certainly something genuine and true that I'm all about. One of the things I look forward to at the end of every show, in fact, in my field of vision right now, you can't see this because it's underneath the camera, but I can look straight ahead right here and I can see the Dr. Pepper that's waiting for me when our show's done today. I love Dr. Pepper. It's my great way of celebrating at the end of every show. And for you, it can be a great daytime treat for you at any point in time during the day or the night or anything else. Big fans of Dr. Pepper. Great to have them on the program, because a world made of Dr. Pepper would be a great place for me to live. That's what I mean when I say that it's a pepper thing. So stop by your local retailer, wherever you're buying your groceries, whatever you're doing there. You can stop by. You can pick up some rich, delicious, one-of-a-kind Dr. Pepper today. All right, so good to have Dr. Pepper here. You can go to drpepper.com to see more on that. And obviously, we love them here. We also love Jake Fromm. We'll get him later on. But for now, Georgia Pro Day taking place as we speak. Mike Griffith is there to watch it, and he's kind enough to give us a little first-person perspective on all of that. So let's do that right now as we roll on here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Breda Pest Management.
And across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
I always feel like a real newsman, a real anchor, when I throw to someone out in the field who's covering live events as they happen. That makes me feel very, very important and serious. So I appreciate Mike Griffith allowing me to feel that way here for a moment, and I appreciate him giving us a little bit of an eyewitness account as Georgia Pro Day rolls on here right now. We can see the indoor facility behind you, Mike. Tell us what you're seeing. I guess tell us what the mood around Georgia's Pro Day is here right now.
Well, BA, as you probably would imagine, you think about the guys that are in that building and the millions of dollars that they're on the verge of making.
We're not getting a great signal from Mike. I wonder if we want to go away from video.
Inside, even though some of them won't be working out, they are here to interview. I think we're going to see Ladd McConkey catch some passes, maybe run the L drill. I saw Dejon Edwards doing the broad jump. But I think Ladd is probably going to emerge as the story today, as he's the most involved. Don't think Brock Bowers is going to be working out. Of course, earlier today we broke the story on Dog Nation that Brock wasn't going to be working out today. A slight hamstring slowing him down. No need for him to push it. He'll run at a later date. But I think you're going to see Ladd do some things today and jump out at people as Georgia has yet another class filled with probably double-digit draft picks once again.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's been really fun watching the Ladd McConkey story develop here, going back to the combine, as you said, kind of continue during pro day here a little bit. You know, this is a guy who seems right now, Mike, to be a very prominent part of the overall draft conversation. And I guess there's still maybe an outside chance. There's still an outside chance that he actually, you know, works his way into one of those first 32 picks, is there not?
Well, yeah, B.A., and you know all it takes is one team to like you. And you know, Ladd had shown some great skills at Georgia, rising up from being a three-star at the bottom of Kirby's signing class, redshirting a year, and then really just kind of emerging and helping Georgia win those national titles. And then I think the NFL really took note at the Senior Bowl. Ladd was basically uncoverable in those one-on-one drills, and then he backed it up with a 4-3 number at the NFL Combine earlier this month. And so now here today at the Georgia Pro Day, I think Ladd had planned originally on bench pressing, decided not to do that here. But I do think he's going to take part in the L drill, and he's going to catch passes from Gunnar Stockton. Of course, Carson Beck deciding not to throw to his teammates today.
I like the idea of Gunnar getting out there and cranking it up. That should be a lot of fun to see. And I believe we've also got Amarius Mims, who's going to be limited today there as well. I guess he suffered a hamstring going back to the combine. For both these guys, in the case of Bowers, almost a surefire first-round pick. I would say Amarius Mims, a likely first-round pick. Any concern that not being fully available for a pro day like this is going to create some negative chatter among NFL draft scouts about that?
No, I don't think so. I think Amarius has already won the beauty contest. I mean, you go 6'7", 335 with 15% body fat, and you watch the way that he's moved people on video. You saw the way that he interviewed. I mean, this is a guy that loves football. I don't think there's any of those sorts of concerns. I think NFL teams right now want these guys healthy. I think in the case of Brock Bowers, Brandon, you and I watched him the last 3 years. I mean, this guy's Superman. Brock doesn't have anything left to prove. You know, we're at a point in the NFL draft evaluation process where they're kind of kicking the tires and looking for scratches. I do think Brock will work out for these NFL teams in April. I think there'll be another pro day opportunity for him. It may not be public, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, the film is what's on film is kind of the hay in the barn. I think you're seeing some fine tuning. It's another opportunity again for these coaches to see their players, oftentimes meet their families. You know, I remember when Mike Tomlin was here to see George Pickens, part of the reason why I felt so confident that Mike Tomlin was going to draft George Pickens and made that prediction on the Pittsburgh radio station wasn't seeing Tomlin talk to George. It was the amount of time that Coach Tomlin spoke with George's parents. And the rub that they got, that was the real giveaway. And I see the McConkey family here today. So I got a feeling there's going to be some NFL teams getting to know some North Georgia folk.
I want to shift gears to spring practice here for a moment, because that obviously kicked off yesterday. And let me talk about the Pierce Sperling thing here first. I want to get to the injuries more broadly. Obviously, sad news yesterday for a guy that, you know, both parents went to Georgia. Pierce, I think, dreamed of playing for Georgia's entire life and obviously had the potential of a very promising football career, but now going to be, you know, forced to medically retire because of a heart issue. Boy, that's just a sad thing to have that, you know, being dealt with. Now, for Georgia, there's also the, you know, the story of, you know, getting the 85 scholarships and things like that. The fact that now Sperling won't count against that number. But in terms of the Sperling story individually, certainly a sad way for a very promising football career to come to an end, is it not?
Well, it is, Brandon, but I'm going to look at the flip side of it and say, isn't it great that Georgia had the testing in place to be able to diagnose something like this? Before something, you know, perhaps, you know, tragic happened. I mean, nobody ever wants to see a young man's career ended prematurely. But by the same token, you know, some very responsible, very detailed testing that goes on here at Georgia to protect the student athletes. And, you know, again, very unfortunate for Pierce that his football career has come to an end. But to me, also a blessing that this condition was diagnosed before a tragedy could potentially have happened.
No, I think that's right. I think that's a good point. As far as the injuries themselves go, you know, it's the same thing every spring, right? It's like always a very long list. Georgia's pretty cautious with spring practice overall. Seems like there's always a good number of the labrum injuries. You know, that's kind of going on again. In terms of that injury list we got yesterday, can you kind of sift through that? And if you had to sort of sum that up in terms of what stood out to you more so than anything else, you know, what mattered to you about a fairly substantial injury list from Georgia, but perhaps not all that different than what we normally get to kick off spring practice from Kirby Smart?
Well, you said it, Brandon. I mean, attrition is part of football and so are injuries. I've said it many times that Kirby's the master of roster management. And the most important thing is to have these players healthy for the season, for the championship games. And you're right. Georgia does err on the side of caution when it comes to protecting their student athletes. And, you know, a lot of these surgeries, I mean, now's the time to have it. And yeah, you know, sure, you'd like to have seen Malachi Starks out there and Smile Munden out there and see these guys 100%. But the reality of it is, the fact that they're not going to be out there is going to give Georgia an opportunity to develop some younger players. And certainly we know guys like Malachi and Smile will stay very involved. You know, Branson Robinson, they'll stay very involved. You know, you hear the term mental rep. These are players that stay engaged. They continue to be leaders behind the scenes. So it's not optimal. You wish everybody could just be healthy 7 days a week, 365, but it's not a video game. You don't hit the reset button and everybody's 100%. These surgeries are needed, and you know, they're timed in a way so that Georgia can be as close to 100% by the start of fall camp as possible. So you said it, Brandon. Every year, there's going to be a set number of players that are going to be out with injuries, whether it's preventive maintenance or repair after the season. You know, a lot of these guys will play through what they can play through in season, and then when you get to the offseason, it's time to repair them and protect them and protect their best interests.
A couple more minutes, and we'll let you get back into Pro Day because I know you want to see what's going on there. I think the thing that probably jumped out to me the most from the injury list that Kirby gave yesterday, and I've tried to provide caution on this too, you mentioned his name, that's Branson Robinson. I believe that Branson is likely just as big a running back prospect as he ever was. Georgia fans have always really liked him, and I think that's with good reason. We saw some of that at the end of the 2022 National Championship game. But he also suffered a very serious injury. Kirby kind of giving you a little bit of a reminder yesterday that is a still pretty long recovery process here. And not being a medical professional, certainly not being a doctor, you know, my expectation is some of that carries into the season as well, even though I guess, you know, Smart says he may be sort of full go by the sort of, you know, by the time spring's done. On the other side of that, you can start to look to be Branson Robinson being a lot healthier. But I also remember what Nick Chubb looked like in 2016 when he was only a year removed from his own very serious injury here. I would just caution Georgia fans on Branson Robinson, a really big fan favorite, about how quickly he's going to be able to work his way back and being the healthiest version of himself. For Branson, unfortunately, that may not be until 2025, Mike.
Yeah, it's hard to really know when a player is going to get back mentally, as in addition to physically. Obviously, there is a physical barrier that he's got to overcome, and there's metrics and deep testing for that. But then there's also a mental barrier. And you know, I think what you're seeing right now and what we've seen a little bit in this NFL draft evaluation process is Kendall Milton kind of overcoming that mental barrier. Remember, he played last year in a knee brace. We don't know how quickly Branson is going to work through that part. The good news is that Kirby Smart identified ETN yesterday as a leader. He wasn't even asked about it. I'd asked an entirely different question, and he took it in that direction about Trevor Etienne coming in being a leader in the running back's room. That's important. He's a third-year guy, just like Branson's a third-year guy. I guess we'll wait and see how Andrew Paul fares this spring. That's another name to kind of circle and see where he's at on his recovery road. It certainly sounds like Roderick Robinson is going to be a force, 240-pounder, maybe a thunder-lightning kind of deal back there. And then you wonder, does Dylan Bell stay involved to some degree? What does Cash Jones contribute? But I really like this backfield. And to me, if Branson is back 100% at the start of fall camp, I mean, that's a bonus. I don't think you can assume it, but I do think that's something that we're going to be following closely.
So let me finish with this, Mike. We talked a little bit about, you know, some of what we heard from Georgia players yesterday. And one of the guys that I really loved seeing being tabbed to speak was Mikael Williams. You know, you're there at Georgia Pro Day. You know, next year, a guy like Williams could be one of the stars of Georgia Pro Day and could be on his way to his own sort of NFL draft future the same way we've kind of come to expect Georgia players being. And I think really this Georgia defense probably needs for that to be true. They really need Mikel to step up and probably produce in the kind of way that the edge rushing outside linebacker maybe hasn't always done in this Georgia defense in the past. I think Mikel is one of Georgia's most important players from this for this season. What did you think about getting a chance to hear from him with a little bit of a new look here in 2024 on day one of spring practice?
Yeah, at least for spring practice, it sounds like they're going to experiment. I guess my takeaway, Brandon, is that there's a lot of other really talented players at that position that we thought might be ready to come into fruition. And unfortunately, you can only have one on the field at a time. And then my second thought is, well, who's going to take that valuable defensive end position that produced the number one overall pick in Trayvon Walker? And how does that look now? So, you know, I trust Kirby to put it all together. I think Mikel Williams is a guy with enough talent to have earned an opportunity to try a different position. And I think that if it's what's best for the team, that's what Kirby will do. But I will say they're very well stocked at that position. I know a lot of those incoming freshmen maybe weren't ready last year, but I think a lot of them could be ready this year. And the good news is I think this Georgia defense is salty. I think they're really good. I think the linebacker play is going to be better. I know they've got some big pieces to replace in the secondary. Javon Bullard, certainly Kamari Lassiter, Tyke Smith, probably an underrated guy. When we look at how Tyke's testing out and the fact he led the team in tackles and interceptions, it's really not a surprise he beat out Aguero. I think Aguero's a real key guy. I think we wonder how quickly some of these other incoming players can contribute. And that's what makes the Georgia spring so important. Like Kirby said, you got 30 new guys, right? You got 21 guys that are midterms and another 8 or 9 that are transfers. So there's going to be a lot of steam coming out of this house of pain behind me. You'll hear a lot of Kirby over the megaphone, microphone on the practice field. I mean, a lot of work for Georgia to hold that number one spot. And the head coach knows it. The good news is I don't think there's a better head coach in the country. And I think I would have said that probably for the last 3 or 4 years. I don't think it took Nick Saban retiring to put Kirby on top of the sport when you look at how many NFL players have been produced and the fact that Georgia hasn't lost a regular season game since 2020, Brandon.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Mike, we're going to let you get back in there and watch more of that Georgia Pro Day, but we'll do that only in exchange for you writing plenty about it for us there at DogNation.com for those of us who don't get a chance to see that ourselves. So give us your first-person account there at DogNation.com, and then we'll look forward to having you back here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Breda Pest Management again very soon as well.
All right, appreciate it, Brandon. Have a good one.
Good stuff.
Take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
We are not done with great guests on our program today. We're only a few minutes away from getting Jake Fromm, the former Georgia quarterback. He's coming up here in just a little bit there as well. I think Mike brings up a good point. Okay, well, if you move Mikel Williams, what does that mean for the other outside linebackers? Totally fair question. We talked about that, was it yesterday? You know, a lot of people expect some very big things from Jalen Walker, we would say with good reason. Now, Walker's also one of those guys you can sort of slide around, do a lot of different things with him, perhaps. Damon Wilson is also a guy that, you know, could be ready to sort of take that next big step. In fact, you know, kind of battling a little bit of injury, kind of stemming from the end of last season, but we don't see any reason why that shouldn't be true. In fact, in terms of the overall sort of production and capability, we think there's room for a Williams and a Wilson and a Jalen Walker, that you're not playing them all necessarily on the field at the same time, but boy, you can certainly rotate them and get, you know, a high energy performance from each guy when he's in. And in terms of why Mikel Williams is perhaps more valuable like a Jack linebacker position than he is a defensive end, because it's just a chance for a little bit more statistical productivity. And at a certain point, that does kind of matter, is that, you know, we're led to believe that from a sort of player impact standpoint, Mikel Williams probably has as much NIL value as anybody in the Georgia roster. I think if you're paying a guy like that, air quotes around paying, if you're paying a guy like that, then I think you're paying him to produce, and I think there's just a better chance for production outside linebacker. I like, for this Georgia defense, Mikel, I believe, more at that outside linebacker position. What does that leave over at defensive end? Well, it actually, I think, leads to a pretty interesting player battle with Gabe Harris fighting for some playing time. When healthy, Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, I think, can be an underrated part of this Georgia team. Maybe it's like Joseph Jonah Ajayi in some of that a little bit there as well. So there's no lack of opportunities there at the defensive end spot either. But for a guy like Mikel Williams, it's all about sort of highest and best use, highest and best value. And we'd say in the case of Mikel, that's probably more an outside linebacker as opposed to any defensive end. And for guys like Jalen Walker, Damon Wilson, they can still be a role for them too. It's not necessarily my point to say that Mikal's far better than what Damon Wilson's going to be or far better than what Jalen Walker's going to be. But I think that Mikal Williams can be far better as an outside linebacker than he perhaps would be as a defensive end. We'll watch that and see what happens. Now, let's get ready to go cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And let's get ready for our Dog Nation cruise coming up in April. Going to be on board Allure of the Seas. And at this point in time, your chance to be on board that, if you haven't already secured your spot, probably that's over. But when you hear us talk about that, it can serve as a real motivation for you to get your Royal Caribbean cruise vacation plan for this summer as we head towards the fall. Oftentimes, great savings on some of these Royal Caribbean cruise vacations as you head towards fall and into holidays, or think about early 2025, or how about the debut of Utopia of the Seas coming up in July? Because when we're on Allure of the Seas this April for our Dog Nation cruise, we are going to be on board a Oasis-class ship. It's called Allure of the Seas, of course. But when you think about Utopia of the Seas, that's a brand new Oasis-class ship that obviously is going to debut right there in July. So if you don't be on the newest of the new, that comes up for you in July. Jessica Slater is a great travel agent, especially selected for us by Royal Caribbean. You can give her a call, 770-718-9147. That's 770-718-9147. You can also email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. And you can make plans to be on board Utopia of the Seas, or if you've heard me talk about Icon of the Seas, take all one of these sailings that heads towards Perfect Day, Coco Cay, the private island right there in the Bahamas that you know I like so much. Just a great time to be on a Royal Caribbean cruise vacation, and Jessica Slater can help you out with all of that. All right, we're going to get right to Jake Fromm here in a moment. Let me go cruise around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean before we get there. Obviously, we played the clip for you a little earlier. Nick Saban talking about his issues with NIL and his belief that he kind of retired because all players care about today is money. That's what he said. You heard him say that a moment ago in our show. Now, one of the first things that comes to mind for me is that's a pretty negative take from Saban. And in other words, I think we can agree, many of us anyway, that there are some concerns related to NIL, but I don't know that many of us would say it as harshly as Nick Saban said that there. He sort of sounded pretty angry with all of that. It was a similar tone that he struck in his piece with Chris Lowe at ESPN.com the other day, just kind of coming across as a little bit angry. And my question would be, and maybe as a media person, I think about this stuff more so than non-media people do, how is he going to go be the sort of happy, joyful voice of college football on ESPN's College Game Day if he's this angry about the reasons that caused his retirement? I think there's a question to be asked about all of that. That's a very weird tone for a guy who's about to represent the sport as a face on ESPN's College Game Day. I'll also say this real quick. When you heard the clip we played a little earlier, it makes it sound like Nick Saban's not in favor of payment for players. But in actuality, one of the things he did talk about yesterday was his belief that it needs to come more from the TV revenue than the NIL space. So Saban was kind of all over the place a little bit yesterday. Certainly a very interesting conversation, and one that's probably not going to end anytime soon. We'll make that cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And with that said, we'll turn our attention back to what happened with Georgia football yesterday. Spring practice started. It's a Kroger Fresh Take. Welcome on Jake Fromm to our program here today. Of course, always glad to have Jake a part of the program. Jake, I joked about this a little earlier. Some of my spies in Athens said that you were spotted on the scene there a little bit yesterday. Did you get a chance to see some Georgia football spring practice? And is there any inside secret information you can give us because of that?
Yeah. Hey, Brandon, what's going on? Thank you for having me. So I was at the facility yesterday, but I was there early in the morning, not there at practice. I was getting my own personal workout in and making sure that my body is right going into spring OTA. So I wasn't there at practice, but I heard some good things this morning during the lift and my lift as well this morning. I heard some guys were a little bit sore. So I think the running and the new activity and just going out at practice got some guys, and I think they're excited to get this thing rolling.
Yeah, I remember a story. I think it was Nolan Smith that told this about, you know, he and N'Kobe Dean going through some of their first spring workouts. And this is a guy, Nolan became a first-round pick. N'Kobe Dean was a Butkus Award winner. These were like top-notch players. And, you know, as Nolan tells the story, when they went through spring practice the very first time, they're looking around wondering, do we even want to do this? Like, is this what we want to do with our lives? And these were players who became like the best of the best and were obviously recruits already of that level. Like, what does spring practice do for your mind when you've been just used to just like throwing high school kids all over the place your whole life? And all of a sudden now everybody's like you. Like, what does that do to your mind when you get out there for the very first time and you just realize there are 100 dudes out here and they're all just as strong as I am?
Oh yeah. No, that's what it's for. It's meant to test you, to challenge you, and really make you kind of question a lot of times in the back of your head, like, man, do I really want to do this? I mean, this is the spring. This isn't even a fall camp. We're not even going to go play somebody else for a long, long time. But, that's just part of the philosophy that and just the whole culture that Kirby's built there. And I just remember my first spring practice just running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Like, mm-hmm. There's so many different things happen. Everything is so precise, just going from one period to the next, one drill to the next. And man, everything is just top notch and laid out in a row and as it should be. Man, I can't give Kirby enough credit for just how he runs and conducts practices.
We talked about Carson Beck a little bit before you joined us. He was obviously asked about the Lamborghini. I think you and I talked about that before. I thought Beck gave a really good answer for that. And I actually kind of find that pretty believable. Now, that's a nicer car than I've ever driven and probably will ever drive. But I sort of find it kind of believable when Carson says, hey, I like cars. It's a cool car. For me, it's just a car. In other words, you know, I'm a little bit old-fashioned, but I don't worry about this being a distraction. I don't worry about this being an example of Carson's priorities being in the wrong place. You know, to me, you know, quarterbacks get treated a little bit differently. As a quarterback, I'm sure you could, you know, you're a humble guy, but I'm sure you could cite some examples of that in your own life, perhaps. Quarterbacks just get treated a little bit differently. I actually thought, I don't know if you heard it, but I thought Beck gave a pretty good answer yesterday to the notion of, hey, what does it mean when your quarterback drives around a Lamborghini? Perhaps not that much. I thought Carson gave a pretty good answer for that yesterday.
Yeah, I love that answer from him. Just kind of going back to more of just, hey, this is not the important thing. And it's not where I'm thinking that's the most important thing. He's worried about football and how he can become a better football player. So his mindset's right. And just, you know, sometimes just being a quarterback, especially at the University of Georgia, man, every decision, everything you do is micromanaged and just put under a microscope. And just really things become a lot bigger than what they really are.
And I'd also say that perhaps some of those statements would be a little less believable if Beck didn't have a track record of showing that his mind is kind of where it's supposed to be. I mean, it was this time a year ago that Beck took a big step forward. And Jake, I've admitted this before, not that I ever had a negative feeling about Carson, but, you know, when a guy comes in 2020, when he doesn't play for a while, after a while, you're sort of wondering, okay, what does Georgia really have in Carson Beck? And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of wondering a year ago, would Beck step up and take this? Would he step up and take this job? Because, you know, he'd sort of been here for a while and that really had not happened yet. And last year, he showed himself to be the kind of quarterback whose priorities were in the right place, that he did win this competition. He proved himself to be pretty mature in the process. So if anyone's going to be believable when they say, listen, I'm not thinking that much about my car, I just like the way it sounds when I turn it on. If anyone's going to say that and have it be believed, someone like Beck, who's kind of shown himself to be committed to hard work, I'd say that's the kind of guy who finds himself a little bit more believable in those sorts of situations.
I 100% agree. He's shown every step of the way that he can put his priorities in order. And he has earned everything that he's gotten up to this point, right? He wasn't given anything. He had to go earn a job. He did a great job of handling the noise, the pressure, the expectations that come along with that and dealt with it well throughout the entirety of the season. And now going into next season, you know, things are different because there's this expectation of play and level of play that he can do, and obviously big expectations for this football team as well. So I think up to this point, he's done nothing but a great job of handling it, and he gives me no reason to think otherwise of how he will handle it poorly in the future.
One of the things that Kirby Smart talked about yesterday was Beck's need to get on the same page with, like, Colby Young coming in from Miami or London Humphreys from Vanderbilt or Michael Jackson coming in at USC. You have some experience with that. Now, obviously, as a pro, you've done that plenty. But in college, you know, Lawrence Cager came in 2019, and when he was healthy, he was a very good receiver. That was a guy that you seemed to have really good rapport with. Like, how do you do that? Like, what's the process of – okay, quarterback, receiver, how do we get to know each other quick? How do we kind of know how the other guy likes to work quick? Carson's going to have to do that, like, at least triple the amount of that here this year. What was your process like that when you were doing the same thing as a Georgia quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it always started with just, man, just developing a genuine relationship with who I'm working with and going to practice with every single day. And then two, for me, it always came down to reps. Like as many reps, as many routes as you can run, my guy, please go out and run them because I'll throw them. And it just seemed to always give me a little bit more comfort and confidence going into the week and just into the fall. And I think during this time of the year is always a great opportunity to get as many reps as you possibly can throw into your guys. And it's always a challenge that quarterbacks and receivers go through during every offseason. And it's always kind of fun to see how different guys handle it. But that was always my go-to, man, just building a relationship and getting as many reps as possible.
We were made aware of a sad story involving a Georgia player yesterday, Pierce Spurlin's career coming to an end because of a medical disqualification. I guess he's got a heart issue here. Now, great that's been discovered and great that he's going to take proper care of his health. That's all really positive. But gosh, Jake, I mean, I wasn't a high-level athlete the way that Pierce is, the way that you were. But I can only imagine how sad the need to make a decision must have been like for him. This is a guy who's a good-looking athlete, good-looking football player, and now that career going to be cut way too short, way too soon. I'm sure your heart goes out to him, and I'm sure you must have some idea of what it must be like to have to, have to face a decision like that. Just a tough situation for Pierce Spurlin. I hated to hear that, for him. I'm glad that he's getting the proper care that he needs and he's taking good care of his health, but I know that was not an easy decision to arrive at for Pierce and his family.
No, man, a very, very tough and terrible just whole situation. Really, really hate it for the young man. To have basically everything football-wise right there in front of him and really have it taken away from him. I know it was a tough decision to make, man, just really, really glad and just really from an optimistic standpoint, man, it's just a huge blessing that all these young men who are playing college football and playing professional football get these yearly physicals, right, mm-hmm. that we get to go through to make sure things are all right and that they're able to catch things before maybe something detrimental really happens. And so man, really glad that they caught it. Obviously sad for his football career, but man, he'll go on to do nothing but great things in the future.
I think you're absolutely right about that. I want to squeeze in a couple of more short ones here in a moment. Let me remind folks, though, it's our Kroger Fresh Take with Jake Fromm here on Dog Nation Daily here today. And if you want the best that Kroger has to offer, how about the membership model known as Kroger Boost? You can get twice the fuel points on the stuff you're already buying at Kroger. That means you're saving money at the fuel pump. Many of you enjoy doing that each and every week, and you also get free grocery delivery there as well. You want to take advantage of having more time in your life instead of schlepping all over town to get your groceries. How about having Kroger bring those right to you? That's what you get when you're a member of Kroger Boost. Find them online, Kroger.com/boost for more on that. That's Kroger.com/boost for more on that. Jake, Pro Day is today for a lot of these former Georgia players. It seems like a really pressure-packed thing where if I run fast enough, I can make myself even more money. If I perform well enough, I can, put myself in a little bit of a different type of NFL draft conversation. It seems like a pretty pressure-packed situation. As someone who's been through this type of thing in the past, and frankly, in the NFL world, you got to go out there and prove yourself anew each and every week. What's that like for these guys doing that, even as we speak here live here today? What's that like to be a former Georgia player going through a pro day situation where these guys are today?
Brandon, what's crazy is that I actually never got my pro day because I was coming out in that 2020 year.
Yeah.
And we as far as that draft process, that went, it was, everybody went to the combine. Yeah, you come home for a week or two, and man, the whole world just really started to go crazy and started, shutting things down. And it was, man, they shut down the university. Like our pro day was like on a Tuesday, and they shut everything down on Friday. So just what a crazy, weird experience. Had to go off site
with
drones, a few guys, and create this own fake pro day. Man, just crazy. I hate I missed out on that opportunity. I think it would have really, really helped me just, man, be around my guys, get to throw and things. But I was down there this morning and got to see a few guys. And just a lot of people in the building. Pro day is crazy, and it gives guys another opportunity to go out and show what they have and try to improve on their numbers. Talked to Ladd this morning.
Good.
Ladd's not going to run, so he doesn't need to.
No, man. He's already running now.
He's good. So he's just catching this morning. And, man, it's just fun. Like, I think if you go into it in the mindset of, hey, man, I'm just going to go out, relax, and have fun and just be a football player, I think that's really all you really need.
I totally forgot about your experience in 2020. You can fire that whole year into the sun, as far as I'm concerned. What a disaster that was. Hey, real quick before we let you go, one of your good friends got some good news this week. It was good news to a lot of us well. Charlie Warner coming to play for the Atlanta Falcons, back in his home state again. How happy is Charlie about that? How happy are really everybody around the Georgia football community that one of our own is going to be playing a lot closer to home now?
Yeah, it's like, you know, finally. So he's pumped. Man, he called me yesterday. I've been working out with him too the last 2 days. So, man, just pumped for him and his family. He's a guy who just loves Georgia, loves this state. Man, he's a homegrown guy from Raven County. And I know how much this means to him and his family too, that he gets to spend a little more time with them. So excited to see him out there on the field, especially in Atlanta. It's going to be fun to watch.
My guess is a little bit easier to find a deer stand or a duck blind down here in Georgia than it is up there in Northern California, I'm guessing, correct?
Yeah, he'll be able to slip away and do a few more things. and so that'll be fun for him and fun for his family as well.
Jake, I appreciate your time. Always such great insight. Everything happening around Georgia, you've obviously lived it. You know it. We appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us on that here today. Thanks for being here for a Kroger Fresh Take, and we'll look forward to getting the chance to talk to you soon.
As always, Brandon, thank you for having me, man.
Yes, sir. Love Jake Fromm, man. Good guy, good stuff. Happy for Charlie Warner. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. And by the way, Jake kind of gave you the final. Apparently, Jake sort of feels like maybe the Falcons could have done a little bit better about bringing in former dogs over the years. Maybe a little editorializing there on that. Could not help but notice. Really, really strong stuff all the way around. We try to get more out of the practice eyewitness account. Didn't get as much of that. But listen, Jake's always great. Does a great job. Couple of golden shoes to give you. How about the week for Kaylee Manziel, finding herself back on the golden shoe again? She shared this. So you had a recruit that goes to visit Florida State. He's got the Georgia G on the shirt there. Mike Norvell forced to sort of pose there on that. The account, It Just Memes More, says wearing Georgia football apparel on a Florida State visit, troll level 99.99. Well done. Kaylee shared that with me, very funny stuff, so we'll give golden shoes all the way around for that. This not a golden shoe, but I did want to give a shout-out to one of our audience folks who's always doing a great job. We'll show you this. J.D. Dogwalker, really good guy, reminds me or let me know that our buddy Sugar Ray, who we talk about a lot on here, he has given us a lot of great golden shoes over the year. His son Nathan had a car accident. Ray giving us the update that he had a cracked vertebrae. That's his L1, and he's been hurting pretty bad here. Long road to recovery, but it sounds like he's on his way on that. Ray asked for our prayers, and you better believe, sincerely, we give those to Ray. We appreciate our buddy JD for making us aware of that. I'm not always the most attentive, unfortunately, to everything that happens on social media, but a lot of you are always kind enough to make sure I know what's going on. So, JD, we appreciate that. Ray, prayers for your family, and obviously your son Nathan especially here. So, thanks for the update there on all of that. And, of course, lousy stinking Gators. How about a Gator hater updater? We'll say goodbye to you by reminding you, 1,222 days. That's how long it's been since Florida has beaten Georgia. And that is a really pretty number to see there on that screen. And it's going to be fun to watch that number keep on going up and up and up. It's Dog Nation Daily presented by Breda Pest Management. We'll see all of you back here tomorrow.